Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Hello.
266.
266 episodes and counting.
Oh, baby. Oh.
Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Oh, it's a Wednesday indeed.
If it's Wednesday night and if it's 8 o'clock, you should be right here on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. If you're on your way to work or the gym or home or the airport or bored or sick or dying or something, I don't know, wherever you're listening to us, maybe it's on iTunes. Thank you so much for taking the time. And we hope that we can add a little entertainment to your day. There's a lot to talk about. There always is.
A lot of things.
What would you do if you were a teenager with an exorbitant amount of money?
Oh, like $3 million worth of money?
Let's just say you got to live the movie Blank Check.
Oh, man, that's...
That kid took $1 million and basically spent $50 million, but let's just say he spent only the $1 million. Highly underrated movie, one of the greatest of the 1990s. Blank Check.
Yeah.
Although that woman did fall in love with a little boy.
And that's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
That
and
is
if it was
weird.
The other way around, that movie would be unfindable.
Yes.
There's like a little girl that got the check, but like...
Let's say that
driver guy, the chauffeur, like they fell in love or something weird.
That'd be weird.
Then that movie, you wouldn't be able to find that movie.
No, you definitely wouldn't.
But instead, we're allowed to love Blank Check.
Yeah.
And I do.
Be lost in space like a Song in the South.
Yeah.
Tone Loc is in that movie.
Tone Loc is in that movie.
Which is very
His
fun.
Name in that movie is Juice.
Yeah, of course it is.
Which should be probably his real name.
Yeah, because Tone Loc is not great.
Yeah. What? Funky Cole Medina?
No. The name Tone Loc is not great.
Oh.
Tone Loc is great.
I'm going to go on a limb and say he picked that name.
Yeah, probably.
That he was not born with the name Tone Loc. Although,
you never know.
You never know.
But with $3 million, I would easily buy a condo in Disney World.
Yeah, now. Was that what you would have done when you were...
Probably.
I don't know if I would have had the foresight to do that. But we'll talk about it. There is plenty to talk about. Again, thank you guys so much for joining us. And a friendly reminder that if you have Twitch, if you have Prime, Amazon Prime...
Amazon.
Was what I'm trying to say. If you have Amazon Prime... You have Twitch Prime. They go hand in hand, and you can subscribe to twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV for free, and you don't pay anything, and we get the money, and Jeff Bezos doesn't. He has plenty. We checked. And we also have a Patreon. We'll be jumping over to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders right after the show. We have 5 shows a month. We must be due for Be Heard, right? That's got to be...
It's got to be coming
up. Yeah, beginning of the month.
Yeah, so we'll do that soon, and that'll be awesome, and it's the most fun we have, and we promise. So if you go to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, you'll have fun every single day, too. As we got a lot going on over here, and we appreciate the support, and we love you, and thank you. And let's just jump into it, because...
But if you're on the fence, you definitely should.
Yeah, right. If you're like, I don't know. Just do it. Just go for it. You'll love it. We shout out, we had a new Twitch Prime subscriber earlier today.
Yeah.
And I think it was Will Snoonan, and I'm going to try to check that out to confirm. But a big shout out to, I believe it was Will, for signing up, and you can too. If I were a teenager with $3 million, because
an absurd car too.
For anybody that didn't hear about it, did he win a car as well?
No, I would have. Probably purchased a vehicle.
So for anybody that didn't hear, there was a Fortnite championship because video games are the future. And there was a Fortnite championship, and a teenager, I think he's like 16 years old, and he won $3 million. So first of all, it's just kind of incredible to see the state of video games right now, that this is like just a tournament they can have and $3 million can be on the line. Because the thing about it is, whatever the prize money is, the company, the presenters made 5 to 10 times it. You know what I mean? And that's the money that's in video games right now. But beyond that specifically, this kid's a 16-year-old millionaire. Now, let's just say he sees, for the sake of argument, $2 million bucks after taxes, and it goes right to his parents. But let's just say your parents said to you, all right, this is going to college and you're whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let you get one thing.
Yeah, one crazy thing.
What's the one thing?
You know what? I might do a trip to Japan.
When you're 16?
Yeah.
Okay, see, the way I'm looking at it is, I'm thinking about it like this. I'm 16. My balls are engorged with testosterone, right?
Sure.
Like, I am chemically getting redesigned every day to just, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
you're in math class hiding boners because you're just like, what's happening to me?
So he's going to spend the money on an escort.
Yeah, no, is that division sign hot?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Somehow. No, I'm going to get the car of a lifetime so I can try, right. So I can get girls in it. So yeah. Like in high school, I played sports, right? So like it wasn't like I was like in the corner weeping, but at the same time, right. I definitely didn't get like sports car level 16-year-old action.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? True. So yeah, just being realistic with you, we're going to get a 1967 Mustang. Shelby Cobra edition, blue, two white racing stripes right down the middle in that deep navy midnight blue.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to ride around and we're going to look for anything that will touch it.
Yeah, right.
Anything. This high school, your high school.
Whatever that, high school.
And again, and remember in this scenario, before anybody sends this audio to the police, I'm 16.
Yeah, right. 16 to 16.
It's not like,
it's
what
hypothetical.
What would 21-year-old with experience, what would I do now with the money? It's not troll no. high schools.
Yes, yes.
I'm just trying to be realistic with you that I'd like to be like, you know what I would do? I'd set up a retirement fund so one day when I'm 65, I can be real happy with myself. I wouldn't. I'd be like, how can I be? I'd basically be Danny DeVito's character in Always Sunny. I'd be like, how can I plow? You know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
I'd get the car. I would get the car that I would hope would help me.
Put it away and
so,
live on the interest.
So definitely not on the scale. But I did end up having a similar situation where...
You won $1 million?
I didn't win $1 million. Not like I said, not on that scale. But I was in a movie, and I had a very, very large check for being in that movie. And basically, that's what my parents said. They were like, look, you can get one thing. Everything else is going to college.
Sure.
And I bought a PlayStation 2.
That's a good choice.
Though. I was also 12.
I remember Nickelodeon used to have a giveaway where you basically had like 3 minutes to just run up and down Toys R Us and grab.
I've always wanted to do that.
And it just basically looked like the ideal scenario for a kid.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, go to Toys R Us and anything you can grab, you can keep. It's like, that's what I've wanted to do every time I come in the Home Depot of toys. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that would be maybe the thing where it's just like, look, let me just sort of like supermarket sweep style, run up and down with my arms open, and whatever falls in the cart, I get to keep it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe something like that. But no, I'm being realistic with you because because you'd like to think it'd be like, oh, you know what? I would learn a hobby or maybe get Rosetta Stone and finally buckle down and learn Spanish. Be like,
no, I would go to Japan and hire a translator.
No, see, I would just want anything alive to touch it.
Yeah.
I'm 16.
Yeah.
I'm all juiced up and I got money. I will give you the money. Maybe that's it. What would you buy? 16-year-old you gets $3 million. What would you buy? A girlfriend, probably. I don't know. And I had one. God bless you, Allison Kelly, who I don't think is listening and was and was my 16-year-old girlfriend when I was a teenager, too. But yeah, would I have traded in Allison Kelly for like a I have $3 million version? Yeah, I would have. I would have done it that day. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think she's.
Tanner.
DJ Tanner?
DJ Tanner. You would have just bought her.
I would have purchased DJ. No, I would have bought Topanga.
Topanga,
Lawrence.
Yeah.
Topanga.
I would have purchased or at least leased Danielle Fishel.
Yeah.
Eventually, you did get to purchase Topanga.
I did. Yeah. My cat's name is Topanga. It's not the same. But she's a strong, confident black woman, and I love her. I probably should have named her Angela if you're a big Boy Meets World fan.
Right?
That's a deep
continuity,
cut for you.
Geez.
That's a deep cut for you. Is it strange that her name is Danielle Fishel? And not Fisher.
Yeah.
Yes.
It bothers me.
It bothers me.
She went to prom with Lance Bass and loves pro wrestling, though.
Yeah, it's weird.
She's a cool girl. Weird girl. Cool girl.
Yeah.
She held up, right?
I would say
Topanga.
She's on Access Hollywood, I think.
Yeah. Danielle Fishel.
And she's doing great.
She doesn't look like what teenage Topanga looked like. She was on pace to be, but it still worked out.
Yeah.
That's what
I would say. Have either of you actually sat down and played Fortnite?
I've never briefly played it. My nephew loves it. I've watched him. I've seen it. I've seen the game.
I know you've played it.
I do. I play it on the Switch. And
yeah.
I love it.
So here's a question for you, because we've got a bunch to talk about tonight. But here's just to spin it back to the kid winning literally $3 million for being good at a video game. This is probably, I think it's probably easy to say, it's inarguable. This is the biggest game in the world right now.
Right.
But what I would tell you is, when I was in college, I would have lost a lot of money if Mimi bet that I would have, that if you told me that in 10 years Call of Duty and Halo would be dead franchises.
Right.
Which seems like they are. And I know there's probably somebody listening and be like, I play Call of Duty every night. Be like,
well, everybody hates Black Ops 3 or whatever.
Right, but
just
I don't. I just don't hear a lot of people talking about those games anymore. When Call of Duty was the game.
Yeah.
Halo was the game. It got into 40-year-old virgin as a joke because it was so permeated into the society.
Right.
And those are dead. At least Halo is a dead franchise.
Yeah.
And before you tell me it was a story and it wrapped up and it finished, it's a multiplayer shooter. And if they were still making money, they'd still make titles.
Yeah, look at Call of Duty.
Right, exactly. And Modern Warfare, or not a Battlefield and all that stuff. But my point is, how long will the shelf life of Fortnite last? Because I know it's a unique concept.
Yeah.
But is in 5 years at the top game in the world, in 10 years at the top game in the world?
You know, I want to say no, just because while the game, the company that makes it has been able to stay ahead of things. The season passes has really done a great job of making everything kind of feel fresh.
Is this their breakthrough game, or are they known for something previous to this?
No. So basically, this is it. Like, sure. They were going under because it's actually like the game of Fortnite is a game that you have to pay for, and it's like a base building, like, defense game where zombies, like, attack your base and you have to, like, defend the base from your zombies. And
I remember those games.
Nobody bought it and nobody cared. So then they basically ripped off PUBG, which is PlayerUnknown Battleground, which is the exact same concept as Fortnite, and it just caught fire. And now I don't like PUBG, and the reason I don't like it is because it's too realistic. You know, the people are too realistic and everything like that. And Fortnite is a little bit more cartoony, right?
Yeah, it's right. The art style.
Yeah, and so it's just more appealing visually, and it's just easier to kind of get into. The speed in which you can play is its biggest,
right.
Like, selling point.
Conceptually, it's very different.
Because it's just like...
It's not just another shooter.
Right, and if you played Halo or one of these other games, and you're playing a team deathmatch, and your team is losing, and you know your team is losing bad, and it's like, well, now I'm stuck in this game that I'm getting my ass kicked in for 15 minutes until I can play something else. Whereas, like, Fortnite, you die, boom, 3 minutes at most, you're into another game already. And that's why it's so appealing. And then from a child standpoint, and why it's latched on so much with the youths, is because of the pop culture references and the dances and the costumes, and, you know, and then they've made a boatload of money because it's like, look, here's the deal. You can get the skeleton costume if you play well enough and you level up enough.
But in-app purchases are how
Or you can give me $50 and you can get it right now.
Right.
And it doesn't do anything.
Right. And that's the thing, is like, my nephew is addicted to that game.
Right.
And for Christmas and basically every gift, I just get him Xbox Live cards.
Right, and then he gets
because I don't know what he actually wants. I just know he's going to put them on the thing and use them for Fortnite skins or whatever.
Right.
And so, you're right, it's a huge industry.
Right.
And the microtransactions specifically.
Right.
Because you can spend $60 on a game and give it hundreds. Some people have probably given the game thousands. I mean,
right.
The original, like, lose yourself in the thing, and again, I think it's, like, close to dead, too. But World of Warcraft,
right,
people would give thousands of hours, hundreds of dollars, and just immerse themselves in it. And you're right. I'm just talking about the industry of the video game. But Fortnite, you're right. Its spin is multifold. My sister doesn't love violence, but it's cartoony enough with its artistic style and approach.
And there's no blood.
Exactly. It's not the same as, like, when, you know, you play that
Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Mortal Kombat.
Or Call of Duty, and you sneak up behind somebody and stab them in the neck, and blood goes everywhere.
Yeah, even zombie modes, you know what I mean, are pretty gruesome. So I understand that.
You know, it's just going to be interesting because there are games that are staples, you know, and I think that they've gotten more and more high profile as the years have gone on, but every year, right around this time, Madden's coming out in like 3 days.
Yeah, people still play Madden?
People still play Madden on like a high level.
I bet they do.
You know, and then Overwatch comes in. And so I think it's going to take a minute for one of these other games to kind of dethrone it, but I don't think it's unfathomable.
Sure.
You know what's the most insane part about this whole thing in this Fortnite World Cup is that it took place in Arthur Ashe Stadium, which is in New York, and it's where the tennis U.S. Open is played. So people crammed this stadium to watch this Fortnite World Cup. And then on top of that, if you look at the screen, if you're watching on Twitch right now,
the winner, Booga, his gamer name, he won $3.3 million. In comparison, Novak Djokovic, the Wimbledon champion, won less. Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters champion, won less. And the Brooks Koepka, the PGA champion this year, won less.
Yeah.
It's crazy what kind of money is going around.
Well, and it just shows you, just because... Like, you know, I also don't weep for Tiger because he's got Nike money.
But prize money in general. Yeah, that's insane.
He and I think alike. You know what he did with all that money? He had people touch it.
He did.
That's what he did.
He did.
That's what I am rich and I want you to touch it. And that I think the lesson learned here is that we are all 16-year-olds cashing a blank check. And once we have that money, I will pay you to touch it.
Somebody else who cashed a check was a man who surprised Seth Rollins on Monday night.
Yeah, so what do you think about Universal Champion? And oh, by the way, I will say this every time until it's not true, which will be years from now, if ever.
Okay.
The greatest Universal Champion of all time. Yeah.
Pretty much the only.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar. obviously, there's stuff to talk about with the attack specifically, but... Are you happy, pleasantly surprised that Brock Lesnar's basically just part of this show?
You know what? I shouldn't have to applaud you, and not Brock Lesnar, WWE. I shouldn't have to applaud you for doing the bare minimum.
Having your champion show up.
Have your champion be there and show up. And I tweeted this out on Monday night, and I wholeheartedly believe it. Having Brock Lesnar just show up and beat up Seth Rollins, while cool and fun to watch, because I got to see him, what was it? What's that one? Zach Gowen, Seth Rollins, F5 him into the turnbuckle on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, while I got to do that, and that was all really fun and really cool, there's no story. Things happening don't make it a story, because, and I'm going to talk about this too, because it's just a part of it, but it's like, the ending of Raw was garbage, where it's like, we're supposed to have a Samoan summit. Why? What new ground do we need to
cover?
What
does that mean?
Right. These are just words that you put together. Why were the Usos there? Were they a part of the summit? Why were Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns fighting? Why did Cedric Alexander come in? Yes, it was very exciting. Visually, it was fun to watch. Having Brock Lesnar beat up Seth Rollins while he was on a gurney was very fun to watch. What was the point? Why did we do it? Who, what, where, when, why, sometimes how? You know what I mean? It's just like things happening is not compelling television.
And it's the thing about them with the TV too is, and this is just going to be like a technical nerd thing with the TV, because you're right. You can't just have Brock, you can't just have things happen and be like, look at the show. But did you see SmackDown?
No.
Okay. So Roman Reigns got like hit with a shelf.
Oh my God. Who done it? Who shot JR? I did see that happened.
But the thing, did you see it happen?
No.
Okay.
It was so
they
bad.
Had, you're right. The thing is, it's going to be a whodunit, but they showed multiple shots, right? So he's coming down the hallway right. And it's camera one and Roman, look out. And you can see it coming into frame that it's falling. Camera two, Roman Reigns goes like, whoa, close up of him reacting. Camera three is a POV of whoever pushed it. It's a POV shot
right.
of the thing falling from, right. had to be from whoever pushed it. And we're supposed to go, well, who did that?
It was the guy from the Hobbs and Shaw set.
I'll tell you who did it. The camera guy.
Yeah,
the camera
right.
guy did it.
Right.
What, you can't have that shot. Like right. in the world's greatest movie, The Room.
Yes.
Right. There was a shot where at one point, right, so you got that, you kind of had to see, or at least everybody's seen the meme of the roof where the guy comes out and goes, I did not. The high mark, right?
Yeah, right.
So there's that like tin can shed thing on the roof.
The stairs.
Right. And but specifically like the encasing to the stairs.
Right. Yeah.
And so this is not great radio, it's what you should watch on Twitch. But if the thing is, if like the shed is here,
right.
the camera starts here, pans into the shed, and then keeps going. It's like, that shot is impossible.
Yeah.
You just went through a wall. Yeah, you know, right. you know what I mean? Right. And so that's the thing. It's like, oh, who did it?
Right.
I don't know. The guy whose camera you cut to.
Yeah, right. The live feed.
There's just a TV thing that bothers the shit out of me.
Well, and it's also like, okay,
and
so.
Then he run away?
Yeah. And so it's like, so we're going to equate it to the Stone Cold Steve Austin getting hit by a car, right?
Although Reigns is fine.
Oh, he's fine?
Yeah, yeah. He like got up and was like, oh, close call there, big dog. Like they showed.
So now
he overcame
something
it.
Something happened and there were no consequences to the action.
He just so literally the thing fell on him, but there were road cases, so it fell on the road cases, and so like
it
he
got
up
him.
And he got up and was like shaken but not stirred.
Oh no, no, no.
And then in theory the perpetrator ran away and nobody saw anything or heard anything.
Stupid, dumb. This show is awful. it is hot garbage and would have been canceled by now if they weren't billionaires. Right? Because what culture, right? They say this all the time, and I wholeheartedly agree with them. They're making money in spite of themselves. Because how can you still have a television program that's watched by people if that's the type of bullshit you're going to do?
Yeah. Because and ratings are hurting. And it was like one of those things where it's like, yeah, something big and dramatic happens. Like, look, they shot that super corny. But then, yeah, at the end of the day, he just got up and walked away.
Because the flip side, and again, now I will compare it to Stone Cold Steve Austin getting hit by the car. Because, yeah, Stone Cold Steve Austin got hit by a car and then was off of TV.
Right.
Right? And then it was bad. It wasn't great, but it was like Rikishi did it. And it's like, whoa, what? Why? And then Rikishi was like, I had motivation. I did it for The Rock. And it's like, look, that's stupid. But
he had a reason.
At least you had a reason.
Yep.
You changed your entire character. This moment affected you.
Your real life family. So it's not like, why are The Rock and Rikishi hanging out?
Right. Okay. Cool. We get this. And then we add the other wrinkle of like, Triple H really putting him up to it. And it's like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. We probably shouldn't have had Maggie shot Mr. Burns and Triple H paid him.
Yeah. Right. But that's the thing. And so now all of a sudden, Triple H has all these character motivations of like, yeah, Stone Cold Steve Austin, I wanted you out of the way because as soon as you were out of the way, I was the champion all the time.
Yep.
So, duh.
Right.
And it's like, oh, wow, that makes sense. That makes sense. Wow. Compelling character motivation and storytelling.
Right. You tried to frame The Rock and I could believe he did it.
Yeah, right. Because those two don't like each other. And it's just like, oh, all of this makes perfect sense. And it's like, oh, Roman Reigns got some shelving pushed on top of him, but don't worry, he's okay.
And the thing is, it's just like, you know what would happen if that was a story now? Austin would get hit by the car, 6 months would go by, and he'd just come back.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't talk about the car.
Yeah, no.
We wouldn't talk about it. Oh, we don't have a plan, pal.
Yeah.
Has
Finn Balor ever actually mentioned that Bray Wyatt attacked him?
Why are The Undertaker and Roman Reigns good tag team buddies?
Are they hanging out?
You know what I mean?
Like, so much so that they got together and designed a t-shirt.
Yeah, they have a tag team name. They're the Graveyard Dogs.
Yeah.
They have a tag team name.
Yes.
Kane and X-Pac are two-time tag team champions, and they were just Kane and X-Pac.
Yeah.
And they won the tag titles twice, and they were just Kane and X-Pac.
Yeah.
You Jamooks are the Graveyard Dogs.
Had a t-shirt, man.
Yeah. And it's like, why wouldn't The Undertaker be like, oh, it's your yard?
Also,
nope, nothing means anything.
And also, like, look, here's the deal. I know that we didn't actually want to watch this. Actually, that's a lie. We all wanted to watch this. But why the hell you've been like shoving it down our throats that Becky Lynch is like and Seth Rollins are inseparable. They are the powerest of power couples. And you know what? I wanted to see that redheaded firecracker try to beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar.
Sure.
Wanted to see it.
Sure.
But no, we don't have that type of fun in this show.
Right.
Because this show sucks.
It went from like Triple H pedigreeing his own wife, much to the crowd's delight.
Yeah. Right.
To like Becky Lynch, you know, be like, I'll eat an F5.
I'll
and
eat an F5.
Brock would be like, I'd be happy to. What do you weigh? 70 pounds?
Yeah, I'll toss.
This would be incredible.
How about I toss you into a pile of cardboard boxes?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then everybody's like, no.
No.
No, but Baron Corbin gets to do it.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin.
It's stupid. It's stupid because.
What do you think of Seth Rollins? I'm going to give them credit, though, because Brock Lesnar is the best performer on the roster now that John Cena's gone, and he's a great champion when they let him be.
Sure.
Best part of the show.
Sure. Here's the thing. They at this point, said to Brock Lesnar, on Monday, whatever, they were like, Brock, look, here's the deal. We need you to show up, and we need you to toss around Seth Rollins. I was like, okay. I will do that.
No problem.
I will do that. No problem for you. It's never been a problem like that Brock Lesnar.
He doesn't refuse to lose.
Right.
He doesn't refuse to work with guys. He doesn't refuse to show up.
Right. None of that has been the problem. The problem is that you're just like, yeah, we don't call him.
We don't want to.
We don't ask him. We don't ask him to do it. And that's what's happening. And it's just like, that's sad. That's sad. That's not okay. I'm not. I'm not in on what you have going on.
And he is still the greatest universal champion of all time and a highly disputed unofficial, but I've seen pictures, so I'm going to count it, IWGP heavyweight
champion. I do like that. That's my favorite thing about that. It's just like he commandeered that belt for a little while.
Right, and then of all people, Japanese hero Kurt Angle
had to do it.
Came to save the day in a really fun storyline where it's weird because you thought it happened at a time where you thought Brock Lesnar was completely done with wrestling and Kurt Angle was still in the WWE, but no.
They met in Japan.
There was this weird alternate timeline where Brock, IWGP heavyweight champion Brock Lesnar, had to defend his highly disputed IWGP heavyweight championship against Japanese hero Kurt Angle. That really happened. And again, the timeline makes you think like, no, Brock was done with wrestling and Kurt Angle was in the WWE. It's like, I know, but it still happened.
Yeah, I know.
It did happen though. I know. Weird. But speaking of high profile Japanese events, the G1 Climax is underway and rolling on. An interesting piece of history, a footnote that I will bring to the table because you know much more about what's going on than I do. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Will Ospreay was a historic matchup because it was the first time two British competitors have fought each other one-on-one in this particular tournament.
Yep.
So shout out to the UK for representing and representing well with two legitimate stars in a tournament that people really look forward to. So what are your thoughts so far on this thing, and where do you think we're going from here?
You know what? The biggest takeaway of this, so right now for those of you who are like unfamiliar with the concept, basically the G1 Climax is how New Japan sets their main event.
It's when Okada's almost done with sex.
Yeah, it is.
G1 Climax.
It is. But basically, they do a round-robin style tournament in two separate blocks. So there's a group of people on one side and a group of people on the other. They do a round-robin style tournament where like wins mean certain things, losses mean certain things. It's a point system.
And they do matter.
The points do matter. Yeah, the points do matter. It's not whose line is it anyway. If you win by submission, if you win by count out, if you win by, you know, all these different things. So you basically have a scoring system, and then whoever's at the top of each block, they fight. The winner then goes on to be in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, that whenever that's next, right? Because it's like technically the next year, but whatever, who cares?
Early January.
The big thing is that the champion is often in this match. So the champion, who is Kazuchika Okada, is wrestling. He is leading Block A right now.
So in theory, he could win and not have to fight anybody.
Well, he would win, and then he wouldn't have an opponent, and we'd have to figure it out a different way. So, you know, this is like a perk of like being the G1. Like, it's a tournament, and it's prestigious to win the tournament. Because unlike WWE, when they say things are prestigious and we do tournaments, yeah, the IWGP heavyweight champion wants to be in this tournament to be like, yeah, I want to win this thing because it's a thing to win and I like to win things.
Sure. It's almost like
character development and storytelling. I know. It's like I say it all the time.
Yes. And in another way, it's almost like hockey. Right. Where it's like, look, we all want to win the Stanley Cup, but there are these Conn Smythe and all these secondary awards that mean something.
Right.
And so, like, yeah, in theory, everybody wants to be the IWGP heavyweight champion or whatever, you know, light heavyweight if you qualify, but this means something.
Right. And so the biggest note is, like I said, Okada, he's leading Block A, and Jon Moxley is leading Block B. And Jon Moxley basically had a... You know, it was kind of put up or shut up, really. You know, he basically went on Jericho's podcast and a couple of other shows and was like, look, WWE put me in this box and I didn't like being in this box and this box sucked. And now that I'm out of this box, you're going to really kind of see what I got going on. And it's like, okay, man, put up or shut up. And he's definitely put up. And Jon Moxley in New Japan is awesome. He is phenomenal. You watch him wrestle Ishii, who is a hard-hitting badass, and he hard hits, and that match is awesome. And then he's in a match with Yano, who's a comedy wrestler, and is able to do funny comedy bits. And it's like, wow, you are way more than WWE allowed you to, or however you want to phrase that. But yeah, when you said I have more to offer wrestling, and now that I'm out of my box, just wait and see. Yeah, man, you are everything you say you are.
So I think that the highest compliment you can give a wrestler and a true, like, I don't know, moniker, milestone, tangible level of quality really is one of the reasons why I believe that Shawn Michaels, all things considered, is the best, is because can you swim in any pond?
Right.
So what Shawn Michaels could do is that Shawn Michaels could work a Triple H in your favorite match where we bleed and we cry and we jump off ladders and it's incredible, yes. Right? And he can work Bret the Hitman Hart and go toe for toe, tap for tap, and put on an Iron Man match that makes you understand that he is as competent in the ring as anybody and no one's carrying him in any bet, right? And so one of the reasons I believe Shawn Michaels is the best is because, you know, in baseball, there are five tools, right? You hit for average, hit for power, you field, you throw, and you run. Those are the five tools of baseball. And in wrestling, it's, I don't know, talking, working, but the biggest one to me is versatility.
Yes.
It's one of the reasons why Kurt Angle is a pro's pro, man's man, all-timers, because if that guy had to fight Brock Lesnar, then he could put an A-plus match on, and when that guy had to fight Rey Mysterio, he could put an A-plus match on, and then anything in between. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, long story short, when you get to a guy like Jon Moxley, and you start throwing around a compliment like there's no opponent he can't work with, that's a gigantic compliment. Yeah. And something, because you're right too. I've sat here for weeks now, if not months, and said, look, I'm not trying to be snarky. There is no in my voice when I say, all right, big fella, let's see what you got. Right. Because Dean Ambrose sucked, so let's see what Jon Moxley's all about. And it's nice to see that I think he's genuinely made a connection with people.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely fits in. And the best thing is that, you know, he fills a void in New Japan that's been missing since the Elite, right? Because
I think this is the guy Cody Rhodes thought he was.
Kinda.
The WWE guy that's gonna go like, whoa, you're here. And look, Cody Rhodes made himself, but I think Moxley's that he's Scott Hall. He's like, whoa, what are you gonna do?
Well, I don't even mean it necessarily that comparison or in that way. You know, New Japan they had a huge void when the Elite left, right? Because their newly crowned top guy in Kenny Omega had just bounced. Cody bounced. The Bucks bounced. You know,
basically took all the Bullet Club momentum with them.
Right, and just kind of left this gaping hole in New Japan where the Bullet Club was kind of existing, and they tried to fill it with Jay White. And now I like Jay White. I think that he's really kind of come into his own a little bit, but Jay White still to me kind of feels like Kenny Omega Light, and it kind of feels like they kind of put him in that box. Whereas Moxley comes in here and he's that renegade that AJ Styles was, that Fergal Devitt was, you know, the Gallows and Anderson were, where it's just like, I don't know whether I'm supposed to like you or not like you, but you're this renegade that I just can't keep my eyes off of.
They gave Jay White a cup of coffee heavyweight title, right? And they just decided that that's probably not going to actually win.
Yeah, he immediately went back to Okada because it was just like, oh, this isn't really working, and let's give it to the beautiful, handsome Kazuchika Okada.
It's just basically like, oh, look at that, Jay White, you're not Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins isn't getting over, so that's just what
But yeah, that's the big thing. I am so excited because, if we're building towards... If we're building towards Jon Moxley versus Okada, sign me up, man. Because, maybe Dean Ambrose, when he was in WWE, you know, being all wacky and crazy and, you know, talking to plants and stuff. Yeah, man, that guy wouldn't be a person that I'd want to work with Okada. But, this guy, I do. And Okada's my favorite wrestler. So.
Awesome. That's great, then. I am legitimate as somebody who had very, very few nice things to say about Dean Ambrose, the character,
right?
Because I don't know the person. Awesome, because Dean Ambrose sucked. And if Jon Moxley is going to connect with people on this level and work with people and make people fit, awesome. I'm happy. That's great. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, topic I'm very interested to dive in with you guys. Jordynne Grace and Lance Storm and Xavier Woods, they all kind of threw their hat in the ring, and a bunch of other wrestlers did as well. Real names. We're living in an online world. It's a social world. And should wrestlers be using shoot names and blurring lines on their social media accounts? When we come back from break, we're going to dive all into it. The New Age Insiders will be right back.
Yes.
Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Hey everybody, this is Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Makowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda, but it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie J. Makowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade. And we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie J. Makowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Maltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
And we are back. We're going to talk about something that's going to make me very mad because I just get annoyed with the state of pro wrestling. And here we go.
Alrighty. So, in a nutshell, here's just sort of the order of operations here. Several wrestlers have done this, so she's not the first, but I'm going to kind of draw a timeline from Jordynne Grace, changing her name on Twitter. It's still at Jordynne Grace, but she's decided to use her shoot name, her real name, her Christian name. Trisha Parker. And it's her prerogative to. And I like Jordynne Grace. We have had her on this show. We have worked with her professionally. I have met her personally. She's a nice person. I really do like her as a performer and as a human being. So that is how I think about her now here becomes right. My opinion. So basically a fan came to her and said, why are you using your shoot name? You know, more or less, don't you think that people are basically here to see Jordynne Grace? And she said something like, I'm not going to insult fans' intelligence. I think they understand what's going on, and I'm going to modernize the business. Lance Storm then replied, and politely, because he's awesome. Lance Storm is like a must-follow on Twitter. He's smart. Yeah. He's insightful. He's not smarky. Or just like, he's not Bret Hart, you know what I mean, when it comes to the business. And he goes politely, and I mean this, like I'm honestly asking, what about you being Trisha Parker is modernizing the business? And that's when a couple people jumped in and her basically being like, it's almost too hard to explain on a tweet and all that stuff. But it came down to some wrestlers being like, I get it. And some wrestlers being like, I don't. And more on the younger side, I think it's an age thing. I think a lot of wrestlers under 40 are like, this is what the world, and over 40 are like, that's not how it's supposed to be. But just sort of jumping off, what do you think about wrestlers using this hybrid of work and shoot name? Because that's the thing, is that she's Trisha Parker at Jordynne Grace. He's Austin Creed at Xavier Woods MD or whatever. And what do you think about that like blurred line?
I think it's stupid. I think that you're either a character or you're not. And you The reason why you're Trisha Parker, at Jordan Grace is, and I don't mean to single her out. This isn't an attack on this person.
No, she's just the best example given the topic.
Yeah, right. But the reason is that it's all ego driven, right? It's ego driven because Trisha Parker isn't the draw. I don't care about Trisha Parker. I care about Jordan Grace.
Right. So I'll give you an example yeah, sure. of this, right? Right. And he didn't change his name or anything, but we talked about this with CM Punk.
Right.
I don't care about you drawing comic right. books and fighting in cages right. and what you think about The Walking Dead. You're CM Punk. That's why I'm interested.
Right.
And so with him, again, he didn't be like, call me Phil now. Quite the opposite. But my point being, though, right. is just like,
he's a great example.
With all due respect.
I came here for the character.
Yeah.
Right? I'm interested.
And specifically the wrestler.
Right? I'm specifically here for the character. I'm here for the wrestler. I care about the wrestling stuff. And it's like, yeah. Basically, what you don't want, wrestler, is you don't want to start the shoot name Twitter account and have nobody follow you because you're not that interesting, or I don't care about your workout routine, right. and I, you know, or whatever.
Right.
But I
don't
care
about Phil Brooks' scenic shots of Chicago.
Right. I don't care about, you know, Phil Brooks' thoughts on The Bachelor. Like, I don't.
Right.
You know what
He's
I mean?
He's going to live tweet the Blackhawks game, and I don't care.
And I don't care, right? But what I do care about is, where are you working? What are you doing? Who are you working with? Are you interacting with people in, like, you know, in this big wrestling match because you work for an Impact Wrestling or a Ring of Honor or, you know, an AEW? You know, MJF. I guarantee you that MJF has a private Twitter account that is whatever his real name is, because I probably know it but have forgotten it. Yeah. But he has a real Twitter account where he's a super nice guy and he interacts with his friends and shares pictures of his dog, you know, and it's nice. But no, when I sign up to follow MJF, I want him to be a sassy fucking asshole.
So here's the thing. I too am going to say things, and I'm going to bring up specific performers only for the sake of references and using yeah. names and all that stuff, and not just being ambiguous and completely vague, right?
Right.
Because MJF's a great example, right? Because I don't want to just bring, I like you don't want to just have this like be a weird pig pile on Jordan Grace, because that's right. not the intention.
Right.
So with MJF, right, I'll say this because we know this guy, and I'll say it too. Like, if I, because here's where I disagree with you
right.
about, like, get another Twitter account and that's where your dog could be. No, get a Facebook, man, because right. Facebook is for your vacation pictures I don't care about
right.
and your GoFundMe for your dog's leg that I'm not going to contribute right. to and your thoughts on politics that I don't care about. Whatever Maxwell Jacob Friedman's real name is, that's where you can go stick that shit is on Facebook.
Right.
Twitter is specifically a place to get opinions out. Opinions. That's it. That's what tweets are.
Right.
Even if they're, you know, we all laugh because it's Biff talking about mustard on pizza. Ultimately, it's a conversational discourse.
Right.
That's the point yeah. of Twitter. And so I only care about your opinion if you're MJF right now. And if you're not going to be in character, then don't be at MJF. Because I saw Ethan Page, a guest of the show and a good guy, either he said it or it was in the thread, but somebody goes, nobody gets mad at Tony at Robert Downey Jr. when he doesn't constantly live as Tony Stark. And what I would say is, Robert Downey Jr.'s Twitter isn't RDJ or whatever, at Iron Man.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, the flip side to that is when Game of Thrones first started, right, the show, I had read all the books and I really got super, really into Game of Thrones, HBO show and otherwise. And one of the things that I really, really got into was on Twitter, there were a bunch of people that were pretending to be the characters from Game of Thrones. So Jaime Lannister, and I'm pretty sure this
is... There was like an emo Jon Snow account that was right, super popular.
Right, but
yeah.
this guy was like, I'm going to tweet as Jaime Lannister. And it's like, yes, I'm having a blast following you having a conversation with Ned Stark. Right? I think it's really fun. This is a really fun interaction that I get to watch all the time. I'm really exciting. But if all of a sudden that account started going like, oh man, I really, really didn't like this season of Big Brother. And it's just like, wait a minute.
Yeah, right.
That's not what I'm here for.
And the other thing, too, and because you bring up an interesting point, too, about all of a sudden we switched to...
But the final thing about that, to tie it back to the Tony Stark thing, is that's not the actor. The actor that plays Jaime Lannister did not run that account.
Right.
At no point when I follow, and forgive me, I don't remember his name, but I don't follow him thinking that he's Jaime Lannister
exactly.
all the time.
And that's the difference, is that we talked about this off the air. It's hard to quantify, but here's the best I can do. Robert Downey Jr. jumps into these skins, right, where it's like, I wish he had more roles. But like, let's say
Sherlock Holmes and the guy from Tropic Thunder.
Exactly, right? So that guy jumps into this and goes, all right, Robert Downey Jr., you're going to play this character, everybody knows what's going on, and then you walk away and you go to the premiere, and everybody knows you have a different name, and everybody knows this was just a play, right? And the roots of pro wrestling are not, like, you know, I'll use this guy because he's, you know, with the name. He wasn't, like, you know, terrible Terry Bollea in the AWA, and then Hulk Hogan in the WWF, and then he would go to WCCW where he was Thunderlips. You're Hulk Hogan, dude, and what you do in this weird way is you play one character who jumps from movie to movie, especially in the state of independent wrestling, right, where Jordynne Grace, like, I don't know if she still is, but at one point was an active Impact superstar while being a Progress Wrestling title holder. So she's got to be Jordynne Grace in right. all of those worlds, even if they're slightly different movies. And then for her to jump out of that and just be like, yeah, but I'm not Jordynne Grace anymore right now. And it's like, so with the Twitter account, when are you on and when are you off? Right. So when you cut a promo and then fans go like, oh, you suck. And then you respond as the perform, like, so the wrestler cuts the promo, the fans respond, and then the person responds and goes, you hurt my feelings. And not Jordynne Grace, but any of them. They all do it. Guys, all of them do it. And it's like, well, wait a minute. This Twitter account I thought was at Bray Wyatt.
Right.
So, again, and I was, quite frankly, a little disappointed in Bray Wyatt when on that Twitter account that he has been super crazy kayfabe with, he started posting baby pictures and then, like, inspirational quotes because he was definitely, like, going through something. And it was yeah. just like...
Well, to be fair, it kind of circled back around because he's doing a great job playing this weird Dr. Jekyll, Mr.
Right.
Hyde thing now.
And I guess this sounds super harsh. And I don't mean it to be, but when it comes to these wrestlers, with Twitter specifically, I don't care what you think about anything, dude. I don't care what you think about anything. Like, do you think I care what Paul Levesque thinks about Donald Trump? Holy shit. No way. Triple H's Twitter account should be to put over NXT, put over WWE, and put over himself in character
yeah.
and the charity stuff, right?
Right.
Braun Strowman should always, you know, like, it. I don't like this thing where it's like, I don't even know what Nia Jax's real name, but I'm pretty sure she does it.
Well, even like, Lexi Kaufman.
Right. And it's just like, this Twitter account, at yeah. Alexa Bliss WWE, I know this sounds weird. It isn't yours. It's the character. The character is the company's or the character. It's the character's account. I don't care if it's yours or theirs or everybody's. It's the character's account.
This is what I go through with everything, right? Wrestling needs to figure out what it wants to be, right? Because we're at this crazy crossroads. And I said it to you off the air, and this is the analogy I'm going to kind of stick with, so bear with me. It's going to kind of weird. Wrestling right now is a 15-year-old. Right? Where you can still get away with a lot of kids stuff because you're still dependent on your parents. You can't drive. You're very, very dependent on your parents. So you're in very much a child. But you're also close to 18 and you want to be treated like an adult.
You should know how to act.
And you should know how to act. And WWE. They do too. But wrestling in general needs to figure out what it wants to be because the reality of it, right? Is you're a bunch of theater kids with muscles
yeah.
is what
you're,
you are.
You're jocks that always wanted to be theater kids.
Right. You all wanted to be the star of the play and the quarterback of the football team. That's what you wanted to be.
Yep.
And so you found pro wrestling where you get to be both. You get to be an ultra awesome badass, but be theatrical and flamboyant and nobody's going to judge you for it. Cool. Great. Awesome. But you also want to be this hyper intense athlete. And we all know it's not real. And we all know it's a play. And wrestlers will bring up all the time, oh, don't, like, if they disagree with you on Twitter, where it's like, I'm in real person mode. And it's like, don't come at me like that because I'm so, you know, I'm just a person. And it's just like, it's immersive theater. And you need to understand that, that you're putting on a play. And look, here's the thing. You don't get paid enough to be on 24 hours a day. And so I get
that. But I think these social accounts are. Because like I said, I it might sound strange. I am really bracketing it out as to what app we're talking about. Because like, look, if Alexa Bliss needs to have her Instagram where she shows that, you know, she's got a pig and everybody thinks that's funny, that's fine. But here's the thing. That Twitter handle says at Alexa Bliss WWE. So you're not a victim if you're like, oh, I don't get to like do normal person Twitter. It's like, oh man, of all the things, yet you get to be a millionaire and travel the world and live your dream. But you're right, you don't get to be you don't get to be Noob Master 69. Break my heart. And I really just don't think. And honestly, man, I'm telling you, one of the real problems in pro wrestling. Here's where I'll be the old timer and bring it back to, you know, get over it and everything. One of the problems with pro wrestling, honestly, really is. The curtain is pulled back, ripped down. You're watching the crew take the set apart.
Yeah.
Like, there used to be something where, like, even, like, look, I remember we were in the building together, but who knew the future? Right. King of the Ring 2000 was my first live pro wrestling event, right? That's my first time I ever went to the WWF, right? I was 14 years old, right? I was actually a month away from being 14 years old, right? And that 13-year-old going on 14-year-old, where the internet wasn't sophisticated and never been backstage at anything, and right, still knew that as lost in this as I am, and as much as I'm willing to believe that Kane is a burn victim out for I still knew that, like, well, the outcomes, though, right? Like, I still remember my train of thought that night, that match, being like, I want Kane to win, but will they let that happen? Not knowing the sauce and the formula, but knowing that somebody was in control of this thing, right? So my point is that I knew even then the deal.
Yeah, right.
But I was able to lose myself because I didn't know that, oh, they talk about the match, you know, 20 minutes before they go out there and choreograph it. And then his real name is Glenn and he's interested in politics. And it's just like, that takes a lot of the immersion out of it. And wrestling is getting tougher and tougher. Suspension of disbelief.
Well, that's the problem, and you just hit it. It's the suspension of disbelief. At no point when I'm watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood does Leonardo DiCaprio look at the camera and go, well, I was in Titanic, wink. You know, like, at no point does he ever go, my real name's Leonardo DiCaprio. And maybe that's too new of a reference.
I understand what
you're
saying.
But it's like, though, Keanu Reeves is the nicest person on the planet. And at no point while watching John Wick and watching John Wick murder everybody, where I know he's not actually murdering anybody, does he look at the camera and go, yeah, don't worry, I'm Keanu Reeves and I'm the nicest person alive.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying completely.
That's where wrestling stops.
And,
right?
And where wrestling, like, because, and I know you know this, but it's not Hollywood. It's not the same. Like, the idea that, like, a guy like, I love Tom Hanks. That guy just never misses to me, right?
Right, sure.
Castaway, Big,
all of it.
Forrest Gump, love him. He's you know, that thing you do, love me some Tom Hanks. And because of the Hollywood star system and because of how it works, it's like, of course he's not Forrest Gump. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, we grew up in a world where up until extremely recently in the 100-year history of this thing, where, yeah, you're Hulk Hogan, man. Like, he didn't even want you to know his name was Terry. I mean, it was that. It used to be that.
We were making fun of it when that movie show, and it's in the archives, and you can watch it. We did a watch-along of Santa with Muscles, right? And it didn't star Terry Bollea. It starred Terry Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean?
I'm surprised they even threw the Terry in there.
Well, that was the thing. And we broke it down because there were movies that he was just Hulk Hogan. There were movies that he was Terry Hulk Hogan. There was movies that he was just Terry Hogan. There was, you know, so it was all these weird combination of names because it's like, yeah, Hulk isn't your first name.
Yeah.
You know?
I heard the name Jim Helwig for the first time, like, when he came back. Yeah. As the Ultimate Warrior, and they, like, made amends, and he was on the video game. And then, like, yeah, Jim Helwig, you know, because Bleacher Report's like, Jim Helwig, and I'm like, who the Helwig is that? You know what I mean? And it's like, I knew his name wasn't the Ultimate Warrior. You know what I mean?
Right,
but
right.
at the same time, it was this immersion. And I know that there were like DVD extras where you can see the green screen of the Avengers and Josh Brolin's not actually Thanos. But with pro wrestling, it's different. It just is. It's not apples to apples.
Well,
it's not.
And again, it's you're putting on a play, right? And MJF, and I'm going to use him again, right, is a dickbag and a bad guy. And so he's not going to go out there and sell a t-shirt, right? And so it's like, yeah, that's great. I love that. That's what I'm looking for when I'm in the building. But it's really unfortunate when I'm watching a bad guy do terrible, terrible things to somebody. And then at the intermission, he's like hanging out next to the guy he beat up.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. You want to talk about the trickle-down effect here. So here's a real-world trickle-down actual result of this kind of stuff, right? Of this loss of immersion is there are like, at least in WWE, right? Because I'm certainly not going to say nowhere. That's crazy. But in Raw, right? 0% hot crowds.
Yeah.
Because everybody, there's the on your phone factor, but the reality is that you're not lost in this.
Well, you know
what?
You're
breaking the wrestling down in a weird way.
That is absolute, absolute bullshit. And I'm going to call WWE out on that as using that as a goddamn excuse. Because do you know who also runs in buildings like that and doesn't have to deal with things like that? Sporting events. If the Rams-Chiefs game that was a billion to a billion and was crazy exciting because there were interceptions, there were long touchdowns, there were runs, there were passes, there were fumbles. Yeah, they were hot as hell. That place was rocking and loud. And it's because you're giving them something to be engaged in. And WWE... No, sorry. You can't sit there and blame a stadium for people being on their phones. We've also been in enough stadiums to know that the cell service sucks.
Right, no, I'm just saying that, like again, fans just watch it so differently. They're not watching it like, what's going to happen? Edge of my seat, kind of have an idea, but not really sure. A lot of times they know the outcome way ahead of time. A lot of times they break it down in a weird, like this modern era of fans knowing the deal to the point where using all these insider tricks, that's a 10, 15-year-old phenomenon. That is new.
Right, and it all comes back down to it was cool to know the deal in the 90s. Well, now it's time for everybody, like the New Day, right? When the New Day started, people ironically were doing the New Day rocks.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, that's dumb because they're dumb. That's a really dumb thing that's happening.
Yeah.
And you're leaning into it because it's funny and dumb. And then it turned into, oh no, we actually love them. And it got Kofi Kingston a WWE championship.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where wrestling needs to go. And it goes back to what I talked about, where wrestling needs to decide what it wants to be. Where it's like, everybody just needs to sit down and go, look, here's the deal. It's a play, right? We're going to watch this play. Everybody shut up. I don't care about stupid person that's like, I have an inside source and I know what's going to happen. That doesn't make you cool. Brock Lesnar just showing up on Raw to beat up Seth Rollins, while that is things happening and pro wrestling happened and Brock Lesnar showed up, the show will get better when people just enjoy a story.
Yeah.
TV is sophisticated now.
And then you tell one. I just don't think that Jordan, like, and I love her again, but I just don't think that Jordan Grace being like, I'm Trisha Parker now at Jordan Grace. And
that also doesn't modernize the business because it doesn't add anything. What does being Trisha Parker add to
anything?
Yeah, how
does that modernize the business? Why do you think that WWE doesn't send Charlotte Flair to ESPN and Good Morning America and have her go by Ashley? No, you're Charlotte Flair. They're not, quite frankly, my love. No one's interested in Ashley Fleer. You know what I mean? Like, you're on the show.
Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns went to the ESPYs, not Colby Lopez and Joe Anoa'i.
Exactly. That's it. But, I mean, like, Charlotte Flair, who, you know, sits there and just owns it. She goes, that's who I am. That is why I'm here. I am Charlotte Flair. Even when you can tell she's loose and in street clothes and, you know, and talk and shooting with you. She's there to be Charlotte Flair.
Yes.
Because, again, with all the love in the world, who gives a shit what Ashley Fleer thinks about anything?
Well, I don't understand what the benefit is, right? It's all ego. It is, and not Ethan Page.
Yeah, right.
He's a very nice guy.
He's
a good guy. But it's all ego because you're playing a character. You're playing a character, and it's like...
And I'm here for them. Again, I bring it right back to CM Punk. Why do you think CM Punk isn't the world's greatest illustrator, or cage fighter, or zombie commentator?
Yeah,
right. It's because that is not what got you here.
Right.
It's all...
No.
And I think that's the trickle down. I really do.
So from one universe to another.
Oh, nice. So there's going to be a rumor swirling.
Big ol' announcement tomorrow.
The Universal Studios is going to be expanding and doing new exciting things. And what do you think about that?
Yeah. So the big thing is that Universal Studios has basically, at least in Orlando, right? Because I believe that, Bill, this is specifically towards the Orlando end
Correct.
Of things. They don't have any more land. Right, is basically what the problem is.
No more Lando?
Well,
no,
they actually purchased up.
I was going to get to that because that's why most of their rides have been all screen based, because they basically just had the land and they had to like take things out and put them in, and they wanted immersive stuff. And so that's why the Transformers ride is basically the Spider-Man ride.
Right.
And a lot of this, I think, is going to be talking about like Nintendo World mm-hmm. and things like that, because they just kind of put everything on hold, because I think Nintendo World was supposed to be done by now.
Yeah, they don't have the space at the current parks, like you were saying. The rumor originally was they're going to take down all like the children's area, like where yeah. Fievel and all that stuff is, yeah. which is so outdated.
Oh, of course. I don't think any of the children know who Fievel is.
Yeah, he went west once.
Yeah,
I like
that movie.
I like both of those movies. They're great.
I also like Rock-a-Doodle.
I do love Rock-a-Doodle. That's a great movie. But yeah, and so they were going to do that, and there was a very, very ambitious multi-story Nintendo World that was going to go in its place. And then, yeah, they just kind of came into land around the corner.
Yeah, about 2 miles south of where they are right now. And I guess they're going to have some sort of connectivity where you can take like a shuttle or maybe like a train system or some sort yeah. to get there when you're going from one of the other parks.
Because 2 miles, that's a haul.
That yeah. is a haul.
You got to get people there.
For sure. Yeah. But I think it was like 1,000 acres that they bought.
Yeah, which is great.
And they're planning on using about 600 or 700 of it for new attractions,
that's
which is
great.
Pretty cool.
It's really exciting. You know, it's really unfortunate because had that not happened, I think we would have loosened up on the Marvel stuff, because right now... Islands of Adventure has Marvel Superhero Island, and it was back in the day when Marvel was selling off everything because they were not making money, and so they sold off the Spider-Man rights to Sony and Fantastic Four and the X-Men to Fox, and you know, they were just selling things because it's like, we're not making money and we just need to sell the rights. Well, they sold the theme park rights to Universal, and the deal is that Marvel characters that appear in Universal's Islands of Adventure cannot appear in Walt Disney World. That's why the Marvel theme park universe is okay in literally every other park except for
Florida.
And it's such hot garbage because there is one banner that has a tiny, tiny picture of the Black Panther in the corner. So he is represented in Islands of Adventure, and they cannot use the Black Panther at Epcot, which they were going to put Wakanda into World Showcase.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
And so they can't do that, but they can use the Guardians of the Galaxy because they don't appear anywhere in Islands of Adventure. So that's why they're getting a roller coaster.
You're kidding. Is that the reason why?
That is the reason. And it's bullshit.
They're quote unquote represented.
Yeah, he is represented because he's on one banner in the corner. And it's like, you people suck.
How did Disney not just scoop the whole thing? How did they possibly get not just...
Well, because they purchased Marvel. They didn't absorb Marvel. You know, so Marvel is still a company that exists, and so that contract needs to be expired.
Do you know when that is?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure. I can't imagine it's anytime soon, though.
Because you know what awesome would be if, like, Spider-Man was just walking around the Magic Kingdom, like, what's up, guys?
Yeah. Well, or we just knock down the back corner next to Toy Story Land and just build the Marvel Land.
You know what would be even better is if Walt Disney World bought DC Comics with no restrictions and just made a good Batman movie for the third time ever.
Yeah, that won't happen. And the theme park rights are for Six Flags.
I know that, but I can't imagine being tough for them to just buy Six Flags if they wanted to.
But the unfortunate thing was that if Universal didn't purchase this plan, there were going to be two Nintendo lands. So the plan, in theory, was going to be, you know, this one outline that everybody's kind of heard about over in the, like, over by where E.T. is in the original park. And then because they don't own Marvel, they were going to gut that and make that Nintendo as well. And so it's really unfortunate and kind of fortunate because it's like, yeah, well, now we have to, we can just expand out and we can kind of keep this little cash cow. Mm.
Screw you.
So the speculation, yeah. So the speculation on the announcement tomorrow, huge announcement tomorrow here for Universal, is they're going to announce something regarding Super Nintendo World. We don't have a date of when it's going to be opening in Universal Florida, but from what I've heard, it sounds absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
You know, there's a multi-level, like there's a first floor and a second floor almost, and then there's going to be three attractions. There's going to be a state-of-the-art, never-before-seen technology for a Mario Kart ride,
yeah,
which sounds absolutely bananas. There's going to be a Donkey Kong attraction,
which will
attraction.
Be
it will be a banana peel.
A Donkey Kong attraction, and then I believe something with Yoshi for the kids.
Yeah, the thing with the Donkey Kong ride that I thought was going to be great, it's going to emulate the minecart
exactly,
and so the
track breaks.
Yeah, the track will break, and the track that you're on is actually going to be below the track that it looks like you're riding on,
right, exactly.
And so at one point it'll like jump the tracks and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
And that's really exciting. Look, Universal Studios needs to be innovative because they kind of set the tone with the Harry Potter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
immersiveness.
I would even go as far as saying like Jurassic Park. Now, that wasn't super duper hard, but the immersive land of the Jurassic Park ride in Islands of, or not the ride, but the land in Islands of Adventure was really cool, especially when it first opened and they had that, like, you could come into that area and like see the Triceratops. I don't know if you ever did that, but that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And so it's like they really kind of set the tone with the idea of like going all in on an immersive property because people do love these worlds.
Sure.
Harry Potter really kind of set the tone. Now we'll see what ends up happening ultimately with Star Wars. But it's like, yeah, the idea that just taking existing properties and just making it so that you're walking around, even the Simpsons land.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a Simpsons guy, but you are, and you had a blast inside that
Springfield. Just walking around Springfield. I could have spent the day there.
And it's a small little area right inside Universal in the corner. But once you're in there, you do feel like you're
in there. That's the only but with Universal. And it's great that they're buying all this land because it's like everything in Universal just feels too cramped.
Right.
Everything feels like it should be 2 to 4 times bigger. You know what I mean? And that's
disappointed with Diagon Alley.
It's so small and cramped. It's just everything's on top. Every time when we walked through, I kept thinking like, wow, this is great. And if Disney did it, it would be unbelievable. Right down to the fact that you can't go into Hogwarts. Right. It's a small, not to scale castle up on a hill that you can tell is way too small to actually be that castle.
Right.
You know what I mean? Meanwhile, if that was a Disney World, you could have dinner in there.
You know, everything is, you know, we'll see what ends up happening because looking at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, you know, everybody that I've seen gone into the Galaxy's Edge in California has loved it. They've really liked it. They thought it's been very, very immersive. They've really liked the experience. And so the Hollywood Studios version is larger. So I'm very excited to see what happens. And I'm really excited to see what happens when it's up and running in full capacity.
Sure. Speaking of gigantic events in Orlando and theme parks, as we get ready to roll over to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, if you have Amazon Prime, you can get twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV for free on Amazon Prime, and then we'll send you a link, and you can join us on patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. It's fun, and we really appreciate it. But Universal, we have been there. The thing about it is we've all been there. We've been there together. We've been to Disney together. None of us have children and have obviously not brought those kids that don't exist, but there's been the article from the New York Post. We're basically saying if you don't bring your kids, you're weird. If you don't have kids and you go to Disney World, you're weird. What do you think about single non-kid havers going to these amusement parks?
I think that these people have FOMO and they're I think that this is classic, like, mind your own business, man. Like, you know what I mean?
You like what you like and you don't.
This is somebody that I would imagine, and I didn't read the article because the headline was stupid, but I would imagine this is somebody that had an individual bad experience and therefore the world must change.
I imagine you are correct.
I'm gonna go ahead and paint some sort of scenario in which they were in a very long line with a very cranky kid in the heat, and they saw most of the people in front of them to be 20 to 35 without children. And if you weren't here, I'd be on the ride by now.
Right.
And I actually hate my life and my kid. And so
I would agree.
And so the world must change is how this strikes me.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird thing to think unprovoked.
Yeah.
And you're wrong and weird and wrong.
Right.
You dragging your kid around so they're not having... By 3 o'clock, they're hot and tired. You're hot and tired, and no one in your brood of misery is having a good time.
Right.
That is not the most magical place on earth, you idiot. I have disposable income. I am the first generation of kids brought up on that park.
Yeah.
And you don't get what it means to us.
Right. Well, there's that. I didn't even think about that. No. But the addition to it is like, man, look, here's the deal. I'm not going on Dumbo. Like, I'm not going on the magic carpet ride.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
I'm not getting my face painted by Cinderella.
I'm not sitting there in the Pirate's Tavern getting made up like a pirate.
Right.
And, you know, our female friends aren't doing the Princess Boutique.
Yeah, getting made. Like, yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
And like, how many rides on property do you have to be 48 or 52 inches tall?
Right.
Yeah, were you going to bring your kid to Be Our Guest, were you? That fancy French restaurant in the Magic Kingdom? Is that where you were going to bring your 9-year-old, you weirdo?
But the trade-off is that I'm not going to the Cinderella's royal table, right? Like that I'm not going to. But the flip side, yeah, I'm not going to the character meet and greet breakfasts where your kid is going to meet Goofy.
These extra magic hours that go from like 9 to midnight. Is that for your 7-year-old, is it?
Yeah. But it's just like, I'm not going to the character meet and greet breakfasts, but the trade-off is I'm going to that high-end steakhouse that's in the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yep.
You know, the parks, this isn't a carnival on the 4th of July at your local park. That's not what this is.
Right.
This is an all-encompassed resort. And for somebody like myself, right, I am not a gambler and a drinker. And so the allure of Vegas doesn't really do it for me.
Sure.
Look, I'll go and I'll have fun at Vegas. I'm not saying that, but the like, yeah, I have to go because that kind of debauchery is my cup of tea. That's not the person I am. The flip side is like, yeah, no, I really enjoy theme park rides. I love the immersive, magical, happy feeling that this place provides, because I don't know if you know this, but the world blows.
Uh-huh.
And walking down the street, everything sucks and people are terrible. And when I go to this place, from the moment I get off the airplane, everybody's super happy to see me. And I know they're getting paid to be happy to see me, but hell that makes me feel way better.
I would pay people in this town to fake it. You know what I mean?
Right.
If everybody would just be nice one goddamn day.
You know, and it's like, here's the thing, man. I'm not going to sit here and complain about your kids, and your kids are terrible.
Right. It would be way, way worse
if this article was about a person with no kids saying how terrible your family with little kids are.
Right, in the same time, like, I could totally flip this around and be like, yeah, well, why are you dragging around a kid in a stroller? You're taking up space. I got to walk around you. You're getting in line. It's a pain in the ass. They're 7 months old. They don't remember this shit. They're not. You're actually here for you, not for them.
Yeah,
so
right.
So no strollers. So should that be the policy? If the kid isn't able to walk on their own, they're too young for Disney, but they can't ride the rides. That kid in the stroller isn't going to remember a thing. You're there for you.
Right.
You're there for you.
Right.
And so now what do I got to do? Like I said, you got to be a toddler to get into Disney World or something like that. No.
Right.
There shouldn't be any of these stupid rules.
No. Well, there are a couple of things that, you know, if we're gonna have this conversation, there's a long list of things that we need to talk about before we get to people with no kids.
Yeah,
right. And one of them is rascals. Like, look, man. There is these parts.
And not bad kids. Not poor intentioned children from the 40s.
Yeah, not ruffians from the 40s. Those electric motor scooters.
Yeah.
Look, I understand that people have ailments, right? And I understand that some people have a tough time getting around and, you know, this type of thing helps them get around. I do understand that. But it's gotten to the point at Disney World
where there are so many.
And, you know, the bus system is the one place that I absolutely hate, because they have to take the same buses as everybody. And it is like a 20-minute process.
It's a massive to-do when you have somebody on with a wheelchair or a scooter.
And it's just like, look, if we got to change anything, let's change that.
See,
separate bus.
And in that, in the idea of the scooters, is like, there should be difference. No rascals. If you're in a wheelchair,
fine.
If you have an issue enough to be in a wheelchair, then welcome to Disney World. Let's be accommodating. If you're fat, so right. fat you can't walk around Epcot, that is not my problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're yes. so goddamn fat that you can't walk around this theme park, then don't come.
Because that is ultimately what it is.
You know what I mean? I'm not talking about somebody with a broken leg or cancer or some kid that can't, you know, has anemia.
Multiple sclerosis.
Or anemia. Right. Welcome to Disney World. If you're 42 years old and weigh 475 pounds, stay home.
Yeah, well, there's also a difference between a rascal. And that's why I keep using it. Call it a rascal, right? And in a wheelchair.
Right, you know? Absolutely.
Because if you have an electric wheelchair, sure, whatever. Because, you know, they have since, and I noticed this from the time that we went for Disney Mania, but from the time that I had went prior to that, there were people that were just in rascals, and they would just let them on to the front of the line.
Yeah.
And it was like
you got special treatment for being fat?
Right. But it was like them, but then they'd have like 15 people with them.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, that's not okay. Because it's like
you're gonna bring a fat guy.
Right. And it's just like you're not in a wheelchair.
Right.
You're not in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And so it's like now the time that we went, I noticed it was like, okay, you wait over here. All of your handy-capable friends are going to go in line, and when they are done, you will meet them.
Right, exactly.
And it's just like, see, that's fair.
Right.
But it's just like, yeah, look, here's the deal, man. I'm sorry. Did it take you a little bit longer to get a picture with Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
You know?
And yeah, like, lady without kids, it's sick of the long lines. It's like, guess what, lady? You don't like your life or your children, and that is not my fault.
Right.
That's the actual reality of it.
So,
thank you so much for joining us. We are jumping over to patreon.com/newageinsiders, unless there's anything else that you guys like to get on the air before we do so.
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Your support goes a long way. If you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime. twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV is where you can find us every Wednesday night. My name has been Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Sugar.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us right back here again Wednesdays at 8, twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. On Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, @NewAgeInsiders, @LiamNAI, @BillNeville, NAI, the website, newageinsiders.com. You can find the friends, the affiliates, the shows, everything that we've got going on. And thank you for making us the premier place for fans of all kinds to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.